And before I start, I was going to say, don't call me Reverend, just call me Brother. you're the only church I've been to, somebody called me Reverend. So it was always Brother Curry or Brother Ken or something like that. So that I feel more like it's a family if it's Brother. If you call me Reverend, it's like you don't know me. And I know you probably don't know me anyway, but you know what I mean. You still want to feel like you're part of the family when you're going somewhere than some where you feel like you're a stranger. But my name is Ken Curry, as she said, and I live over at, it's called North Bend. That's where I grew up at. It's northwest of Culp. It's back in, why it's called North Bend, it was North Bend of the Big Muddy River. And my grandfather started a farm out there, and then my mom and dad, my dad co-mined and worked a farm there, and I grew up on the farm there. I live there, but I don't farm. I had enough of it as a kid. Dad had old tractors and he didn't have a combine. He had a corn picker, and you rode the wagon and pushed the corn around so when it piled up in the back and did all that kind of stuff. And we had 24 goats, and we had chickens, ducks, and geese, and hogs, and beef cows, and a couple horses. So my horse was my bicycle back in that day. So that's where I grew up at, out that way. And then my dad was a coal miner, and he wanted me to get into mines, but I didn't want no part of it. So my pastor at the time, I go to Heron Second Baptist Church there in Heron, which my family never went to church. My mom and dad didn't go to church. I didn't go to church till I was 17. A friend of mine invited me to Heron Second Baptist Church one night, and I was saved and accepted the Lord as my Savior. And then I went there, and then later on, I guess it was in the 80s sometime, it was on my heart to preach, but for me, it was just to help out country churches. I didn't really care about being a big church type pastor, that kind of thing. And I've pastored three churches since. Pastored Palestine and Lick Creek and Spring Hill. Spring Hill was the last one I was at. And I would probably still be there, but because, like I said, my pastor taught, I skip around. I'm sorry. And that's why you always have notes, so when I run off somewhere, I can finally get back to what I was wanting to talk about. But my pastor, he recommended a job at the prison. He says, you ought to go get the job at the prison. And I said, oh, I didn't know nothing about it, because in high school, you just really didn't talk about prisons. It ain't like you sit around wanting to go there, so you don't really talk about the place. So back in the 70s, when I went down there to Vienna, this was how hard the test was. They had a picture of a helicopter, some guys standing around it. They showed it to you, took it away. If you could remember 30 seconds, you got a job. So I had a 30-second memory. So that worked pretty good. So I passed on that. Now, the funny part was, they wanted you to write down three counties you want to work out of. Again, it falls back that I don't know where prisons are. We don't sit around and talk about prisons at school. So I was a trusting soul that I was, because, you know, growing up on a farm and the neighbors you had, everybody was pretty honest people. You know, he was around most of the time. So I was a trusting person. So I trusted the guy that was taking the test with me. I shouldn't have. And I says, where is another prison at? He said, well, there's one in Will County. I said, where is Will County at? He said, well, because I lived in Williamson County all my life. And he says, what's this little north of here? I said, okay. So I wrote it down. I got to find out where Will County was. That was at Joliet Correctional Center. They closed the prison down now, but I was there before it closed down. I worked there a year, and then I transferred to Menard. I worked there 13 and a half years. 3.5 years I worked on death row. And then I went from there to Vienna, and I retired from there. But you never know which road you might take. I think it was a blessing to work in a prison, get to talk to a lot of different people, get to know a lot of different things. Because even when I was saved, because I didn't grow up in church, Heron Second Baptist Church is a Southern Baptist church. I didn't even know it was Southern Baptist Church when I was saved. Didn't know it was Southern Baptist the whole time I went there until I went into the Army National Guard and was at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. They have them, you know, like the chaplain on base. Well, he's kind of general. I didn't like that. He just didn't really. I thought I'd go to the church in town. So I went to the Baptist church. They come around with the bus, went into town. And this is how I got to find out I was Southern Baptist, because the guy says to me, he says, well, I bet you're Southern Baptist. I said, oh, no. He says, well, them Southern Baptists, they worship the president of the convention. He's all over it, on charge of all that stuff. And all that. Well, if he is, I don't have a clue who he is. And I couldn't tell you who he is now. He's not that important to me. So, you know, if I see him, I say hi, but I don't know him. But that's how I forgot to find out I was Southern Baptist, because it wasn't important. The important thing is that you know Jesus. That's what counts. Amen. The rest of that don't matter at all. Amen. If you would, turn with me today, this morning, over to Matthew chapter 7, start at verse 13. And you got to forgive my cough. I've had it most of my life. I seem to have sinus problems forever. I went to a doctor once because I got a broken nose. Because back when I was like 8 years old, I walked through this kid's yard and he didn't like it. And I got to find out why, and he broke my nose. And I never got it fixed. And so when I thought about going and getting it fixed and seen a doctor about it, and he told me, he says, well, you got a real narrow throat. He says, you probably got that sleep apnea thing. And so he sent me off to the hospital. That they said I had that. I've been on sleeping with a machine since the 80s. But he didn't fix my nose. So I don't know if I'd ever got it fixed, if it helped my sinuses or not. But that's where that goes. Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Would you bow your heads with me? We'll go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all the blessings you gave us. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Father, we just ask you to just bless each one that has come this way. Father, that you just open their hearts and their ears to your word this morning. And Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He says, enter through the narrow gate. And wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. I had some friends of mine years ago. I was talking to them. They tell me about that they went to Germany because their son was in the army and he was stationed in Germany. So him and his wife went over there to go visit. Now they can't speak German. And they got over there and got on a train. And they had a ticket. And they thought they were going the right way and thought they were on the right train. But they weren't. And when they was going on that train, the train conductor came by and he started talking to him, but he's in German, you know, talks German. He don't know any English. They don't know any German. So they were going back and forth, you know, for a while, and then he didn't know what he was saying, so the guy finally punched his ticket and walked off. And but they were heading toward France, not toward where they wanted to go in Germany. But they discovered after they was going down the road a ways, at one of the stations that they stopped, they seen a sign and said, well, this isn't, we're not going the right way. So they got off and found somebody that could speak English and got them going the right way. And they got going the direction they should go. But that's always the thing that concerned me. If I ever went somewhere, I want to be where I could talk to them and they can talk to me, because I'd have a hard time. I'd be worried deaf about what they were saying, because I wouldn't know what they was talking about. But we need to have the right ticket and go through the right gate. He had his ticket and even had it punched, but was on the wrong train, going the wrong way. In life, we also have to have that right ticket. We have to know that we're right with God, and we know we're on going the right way. There's so many people in the world today, they think they're doing right, but they're not even anywhere close. They just think they're doing the right thing and that all that they're going to go through the narrow gate, but they're not. They're on the wrong train. Heading the wrong way. Look at verse 21, drop down. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, you may think that someone that prophesied or that's cast out demons or did wonder works for God would be saved. They'd be on that right train. They'd be heading the right way. But he says, I never knew you. And see, the thing is, you got to look at, it's where they say, Lord, Lord, have we not? It's not God saying, that they did these things. It's them saying to God, well, I did all this for you. And, you know, I've done great things. Shouldn't I get to go to heaven? But no, they weren't. They he says, I never knew them. They had the wrong ticket. They had the wrong ticket and the wrong train. They were headed through the wide gate. They were heading the wrong way all the way, and thinking that they were saved, thinking they're doing the right thing. And there's so many people today. They think, I've seen this when I've talked to people. You go up and you ask somebody, says, "Now, are you saved? Or are you a Christian?" And a lot of times they'll say, "Well, I'm a member down there at the Baptist church," or I'm a member of the Catholic Church, or I'm a member of the, they'll tell me what member they are at what church. But that wasn't the question I asked. I asked them, I said, are you saved? Are you a Christian? And you'd be, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I know the Lord. Or, but you know, they'd tell me they're a member of the church. Because when we die and we go to heaven, it ain't going to be, well, yeah, I'm going to let you in because you're a member of the Baptist church. And they ain't going to let you in because I'm a member of the Pentecostal church or the apostolic, which I think the apostolics I've been around, they think they're the only ones going. So there ain't nobody else going. When I was a teenager, I had a good friend of mine in high school. I was saved, like I said, and was going to Second Baptist Church and was just learning, you know, because you're learning things as you go, reading your Bible and trying to learn stuff. And my friend, he was going to Apostolic Church, and he was trying to tell me that I was lost, even though I asked the Lord into my heart and life, because I didn't have the gift of tongues. And if I didn't talk in tongues, I'm lost. And so I told him, I said, well, I don't know. Well, who am I to tell God what gift to give me? You know, he'll give me what he wants to give me. But see, because they try to say that the talking in tongues is evidence that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And so if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, then you're lost. Well, the thing is, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the Spirit, not the gifts. God gives you gifts, but he may not give everybody the same gift. And the funny thing was, a friend of mine at Menard that went to an apostolic church because that's where his family went. So he did this get along with the group. When he was in the service, he spent a lot of time in Japan, so he just started talking Japanese, and they were pretty happy with him. So he was accepted. So, but see, that ain't what it is. You got to accept the Lord. And it ain't all this other stuff. People try to add things to it. And as the Bible says, that where Jesus was saying, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the only way, our only ticket. It ain't Jesus plus talking in tongues or plus doing something else. It's just Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're lost. You got to have Jesus. I've heard people say, you know, I've heard this over the years a lot. They said, well, God is love. And an all-loving God would not send anyone to hell. You know, because God is love and he loves you. And he wouldn't send nobody to hell. You know, he just wouldn't do a thing like that. But it's true that God is love. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. So you have a way not to go to hell. He don't send anybody to hell. It's you choosing to go there. It's your choice if you choose that. It's not God. It's you choosing because God made a way, but you choose it. They didn't think they'd done anything wrong in their life. They think if I just be a good person and live my life, then I'm going to get to go to heaven. And then also the other thing in the world, they think that when you tell them that they have to admit that they're a sinner, they don't want to admit that because they don't want to admit they've done something wrong. You know, it's a lot of times in the world today, I've had this several times, they'll say, well, what did your dad do something to you or your mother? You know, they'll always get it's somebody, your parents or somebody's caused you to be the way you are. Well, we had three kids that we had and took them to church every time since they were born. They was in church, involved in everything, went to youth groups, all this kind of stuff. I have one son that goes to church now. My oldest son, he says that God don't exist at all. because he goes with science. Science says, and I keep trying to tell him, the scientists you're listening to are the ones that are atheists to begin with. There's a lot of scientists out there that say there is a God, and will tell you about what they know, but he won't. You know, won't go for that. So, you know, they think that they want to go off the science and knowledge and think that this is right, but they don't want to admit that they've done something wrong. They want to blame you for somebody else for the problems. And then they'll say, well, God loves us, and wait a minute, I got to back up here. I'm getting ahead of myself. And then they'll say that Christians got it wrong, that God loves us, and if we are loving and good to others, then we will get into heaven. You know that if I'm a good guy and do good things, then I'm going to get to go to heaven. But the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Mm-hmm. It's not by your works. It isn't what I can do. It's what Jesus did that gets us into heaven. It isn't anything I can go out there and do. I can be a good guy and help everybody. I've had people before that say, well, my dad, surely he went to heaven. He was such a good fellow. He was always helping the neighbors, and he was doing that. And I said, did he know Jesus? He said, no. Well, then if he didn't know Jesus, he didn't go to heaven. You got to accept Jesus Christ, your personal savior. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot do enough goodness or things to get there. There ain't nothing that's going to get you there that way. You got to accept him, and that's it. So the world has their ticket punched, but they're on the wrong train. Jesus tells us the truth. He is the only way to life is through him. Mm-hmm. And the only way through the narrow gate is through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you got some people, they think, well, there's no hurry. When you're younger, I'm getting older now. I keep waiting to wake up one day and be in heaven. As I get older, it seems like this body's falling apart more and more every time you turn around. You got more parts in you, like I've got both hips replaced. I'm soon going to have, I set off metal detectors without anything around, you know, make everything go off. But when you're younger, a lot of times you think, boy, I got all the time in the world to get saved. You know, I can go out and do, as the old saying go, I can sow my oats, go out and do what I want to do, that kind of thing. And there's no hurry, no rush. Really, they just think they are living it up when they're going out there sowing their oats, but they're really just walking dead because they don't know that at any time, you don't know the future. You don't know when you can die. As Jesus told the parable that the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I'll have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? God says that you are a fool if you think you have plenty of time. You may think you're young and you think you have a lot of time, but your whole life is just a heartbeat away. And I used to, well, I'll have to say maybe more than a heartbeat because when I took some medication and I stopped breathing and my heart stopped for a second. And my wife was trying to do CPR on me, and I come back on my own. She couldn't get me rolled over. She was getting my kids to come and try out. But they put me on this kind of a beta blocker medication. Well, it worked too good. It slowed everything down too much. But anyway, so you may have a beat or two more before you go. But you never know when your time is. We had, like I said, we had the three kids. My oldest son, when he was working at a gas station, he's an IT guy now up in Springfield. He's 42 years old now, my oldest son. I'm feeling old. But anyway, he was working at a gas station. There was a lady there that had two kids, and she wasn't married. And the youngest kid had leukemia. And so she was taking the girl up to Children's Hospital up in St. Louis. And so my wife's an RN. She's retired from Carbondale Hospital. Back then she wasn't. But she got to know her mother, and her mother asked her if she would help. So she started going up there and staying with the little girl at the hospital. And then when she came home from the hospital, her mother sent her to our house and stayed with us. And because she was afraid of her going, because she lived in public housing and was worried that she'd be around people and things like that. So she came to our house and stayed with us. She lived until she was 10 years old, and then she passed away. And she came to our house when she was 1 year old. Mm-hmm. And she was a blessing to us. And one of the things I'll share with you, and then I'll go on, that she did that I always got a kick out of was that, see, I'm a ham radio guy, and I would talk to this missionary in Africa every Sunday. He's not there anymore. Brother George is in North Carolina now. But anyway, she would always get on there, and she would like to tease with him because she'd hear me like, "You're breaking up. You know, sometimes you can't copy somebody." Well, she'd get on there with him and say, "You're breaking up. You're breaking up. You can't copy." And she'd go start laughing like this and thought it was funny. And so when she went to church, they gave her a little stone with a little cross on there. And I was talking to her because she was young at the time. I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, Jesus died and he's on the cross. I mean, he died on the cross and he's up in heaven and he's got a good copy on us up there too." And I got a kick out of that. But she lived to be 10. And then there was a friend of mine when I was in high school. He had a heart attack and died while I was in high school. So you never know. The age does not matter. It's just when it's your time. So we should thank God every day for life. Some see that Christian life as a bunch of rules, a bunch of things that I cannot do or I shouldn't do or the things that I should do. I don't see it that way. I see it as a Christian life as being a blessing. I have God on my side, and he's there for me through the good times and the bad times, helps me up and down. Like when the little girl passed away, man, that was like something just tore your heart right out, you know. But even though you know she's in heaven and I'll see her again, but it's still a hard thing to go through. But God was there with us. And I heard people say, "Well, why didn't you blame God for this and quit going to church?" I said, "Why would I do that?" I take it as he gave her to us, and it was a blessing to us, and I can see her again. I don't blame God about anything. There's on anyway. So when we have heartaches and troubles, there's someone to turn to when we know Jesus. Because we can leave our troubles with him. Amen. We can leave all of our heartaches and know that God will answer our prayers and help us through the things that we encounter. God is is there to help us, to help us up and wipe the tears away. And also as a Christian, I know that God loves me and that he's in my heart. Mm-hmm. I know that Jesus lives in my heart. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And that also I know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. So we are winners, not losers like the world would have you be. The world out there will try to tell you, "Well, they're a bunch of dumb people going up there worshiping this God that don't exist," or that kind of thing. It's really sad that they don't see God and don't understand. So life is short, so we have to make sure that we have the right ticket and we're on the right train. I've also, from working in the prison, I encountered a lot of Muslim people. Excuse me. And I was talking there was one preacher was doing he used to be Muslim over in the Middle East somewhere, and he came over here now and he was preaching, and he was telling that they in their Bible, that the Quran, that one of the names for their God was Deceiver, and it was in there and it said that, and then said it also said that that as a Muslim they don't have to, they can lie to you if you're not a Muslim. Only to only person they have to tell the truth to is to other Muslims. If you're a heathen, as we are, because we're not Muslim, then they don't have to tell you the truth. And to me, that don't sound anything like the God I know. He don't tell you to lie. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. I still would tell you the truth about things. And I never heard anybody ever call God a deceiver. He wouldn't deceive you into doing anything. He wants you to accept his son. He just tells you the truth, and that Jesus is the way and the life and the only way. And we have to accept him. Mm-hmm. The Bible also says, as is appointed on men to die once, but after that, the judgment. Whether we have the right ticket or not, we have an appointment with death. We all have an appointed time when we'll die. We don't know when it is. We don't know what day it'll be, what hour it'll be, or how, if it'll be soon or later. We just know that we have an appointment, and we'll make that appointment. I've heard it said too, now I don't know where you guys stand with this, but I've ran into people that they are Calvinists, and they believe that God chooses you to be saved. It's not your choice. It's God chooses you. And I sat there and shake my head about that, you know, and that Jesus didn't die for everybody, but only for the chosen ones. And so that ain't true either. He died for everybody. Because if that was true, then when you died, when you had that appointment with death, and it says not only that we have an appointment with death, but after this judgment, what would God be judging other than himself? Because he chose you. You didn't have no choice if he chose you. I always thought that they went with that theory because then they didn't have to go out and visit anybody. They didn't have to tell anybody about the Lord. They didn't have to say anything to anybody because it's easier. Well, God didn't choose you. God chose this, but didn't choose you. So, you know, that's how they think. But so you got a lot of things out there that could lead you astray. But if you just read your Bible and read it and hold it close to your heart and trust God to lead you through everything, you ain't got nothing to worry about as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we'll all have a day when we're going to stand before judgment. We don't know when that day will come when we'll die. In fact, there was a preacher at Cold Bank Baptist Church. It's over as you're going toward Harrisburg. He was up preaching and died during the service at a heart attack. So you never know. You could be anywhere, at any time and die. You just have to know Jesus. So I ask you, do you have the right ticket? Do you know where you're headed? Or are you relying on the fact, well, I'm a member of the Baptist church. Or my mom and dad goes to church down there, and I go, I know that, you know, that everything will be okay. You have to know in your heart Jesus. You got to know him personally. And then I'm going to close with this one little story. A little story I made up, a story. It's called The Three Fools and a Hick. Fool number one, Lord came to his house, knocked on the door. The fool answered the door. The Lord said, I'd like to come in and live with you. The fool said, why? And slammed the door and shut on him. Fool number two, the Lord came to his house, knocked on the door. The fool answered the door. Lord said, I'd like to come in and live with you. And he said, no, Lord, why don't you stay out here on my porch? And Lord, you can stay right here on my porch, and everybody that goes by, they'll think, what a holy and righteous man I am for letting you live on my porch. Then fool number three, Lord came to his house, knocked on the door, and the Lord answered, the Lord knocked on his door, and the guy answered the door, and he said, the fool answered the door, and he said, I'd like to come in and live with you. And the fool said, come on in. And he showed him where a little closet was. First took him around his house, showed him his old house, and then took him over to the little closet and said, you'll stay here in this closet. The Hick, not referring to anybody's name. I was at a church one time and said this. No, actually, it was a guy named Hick. So I'm not referring to any individual. the Hick, he lived out in the boondocks, and he had a one-room house, nothing else. Lord came to his house, knocked on the door. The Hick answered the door. Lord said, I'd like to come in and live with you. Hick says, sure, Lord, come on in. He started showing him around his one-room house. He says, Lord, everything I got is yours. Now, the meaning of the story is that the house represents your life and the door represents your heart. And the Lord comes knocking on everybody's heart and life. Fool number one, he rejected the Lord like so many people do and slammed the door shut. Don't want to have anything to do with you. This fool number two, he didn't accept the Lord either, but he just wanted to be what you call religious for a big display so everybody think how holy and righteous a person he is. Fool number three, let him come into his heart and life, but he didn't want him to really be part of his life, just in a small spot in his life. Only the Hick who can be a real true Christian. We're like what Paul said, for me to live is to Christ and to die is gain. Because he put everything in that house, he gave to him. And he wanted the Lord to have everything and take first in his life. Is that how you are today?